I'm on a ride, flying and weightless.
I swerve and stop, just trying to avoid the dragon!
Ride Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, the breakthrough thrill ride at Universal Studios Hollywood. It's part coaster, part flight simulator, a little bit of wonder, and all beyond any ride you can imagine. Visit UniversalStudiosHollywood.com to get the California Neighbor Pass. You'll get over 175 days to enjoy adventure throughout the park for just $129 online. Pass valid for 9 months from selected first visit date. Blackout dates and restrictions apply.
Changing a song can change your whole day, but change has never been this powerful. At Nissan's Year of the Truck and SUV event, we're rolling out our capable new lineup and big savings. Shop your local Nissan store and choose Nissan.com. Offers end soon.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Science News You Can Use Radio with Amy Alcon and Dr. Jennifer Vertelin and just previously my barking dog, Aida. I'm science-based advice columnist and author Amy Alcon.
And I'm animal behaviorist and author Dr. Jennifer Vertelin, or Jungle Jen as Amy likes to call me.
This is our every other week show on which we lay out science news you can use to solve your relationship problems or just improve your relationships and have a better life. And not to worry, I'll still be doing shows on the best behavioral science books on the weeks in between. And now, Dr. Jen will tell you about tonight's show.
There's this great quote from Sybil Shepherd, one of my favorite actresses, and she says, "I was born and bred to be a great flirt." Now, I've never met her in person, but from everything I've seen on the screen, her mannerisms and the subtle movements and looks she has, I would have to agree with her. It just all seems to come very naturally to her. Now, not everyone feels this way, and for some of us, flirting can be like navigating our way over hot coals while juggling knives. Maybe you fear rejection, maybe you just don't know what to do or say, or maybe you think flirting doesn't matter. Well, tonight, we want to help you to start flexing those flirting muscles. Why? Because understanding the science of flirting and mastering the techniques is the way to get love into your life and keep it there. And your flirting muscles are just like your regular muscles. If you don't use them, you lose them. Okay, so Amy, let's kick things off with telling everybody, what is flirting?
Well, there are a bunch of kinds of flirting, but in a sexual and romantic sense, it's a way to kind of say yoo-hoo to the people you're interested in. So you're signaling your availability and your interest in something beyond just casual conversation. And one thing that's important, flirting is ambiguous. It's a way of saying it without saying it in so many words. You're basically sort of signaling, "Hi, I exist, and I just might think you're hot." And this, when you put that out there, this is also a form of information gathering. Do you think I'm hot too? And your response tells that.
That's great. You know, so one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, though, before we really dive into everything, is while we were prepping for the show, you were a little disturbed about a blog item that you saw. Do you want to tell us about that?
Well, first of all, I have this animal behavior expert, Dr. Jen, on speed dial. You know, although I am a little pissed off that you killed a joke about a gorilla, you know, with the whole, like, the reality of how they actually behave thing. But anyway, on to the blog item. I know. I hate that. I love it, but I hate it because then I don't look like an idiot in print, which I try not to do. But so we're researching the show. I'm going around, and I see this post. It was on Seriously Science at Discover. I don't know why they called that, because it was titled, "Why Are Humans the Only Animals That Flirt?" And I thought, okay, I don't think that's right, because of stuff I've heard from you. And also, frankly, personal experience. My dog flirts with me. In fact, my dog also sexually assaults me, a little tramp. She humps my arm when we're in bed. It's just, you know, spayed and everything. I don't get it. But, you know, about the flirting, when we are going to take a nap, which I do, I write and I nap in between, she'll be on the end of the bed, and I'll call her. She's supposed to come when she's called. But she plays this game. I'll say, Aida, come, and she will, and but she'll come, and then she'll bounce away. She leaps backward like she's saying, ha-ha, thought you can have me, ha-ha, no, you can't. You know, and teasing is a big part of human flirting, and my dog actually does this. So I was all, you know, hey, Dr. Jen, this blog item, it's wrong, right?
Yeah, you know, you were right. It was wrong. And, you know, I looked at the post, and it starts off with this statement, as far as scientists can tell, humans are the only animals with covert sexual signaling, which to them meant flirting. And I had two problems with just this one sentence. First of all, I'm a scientist, and I can tell you that tons of animals have covert sexual signaling. And, you know, for example, I love octopuses, and it was recently International Octopus Day, for those of you who might not have known. And so I'm going to have to go with the Indonesian striped octopus here. Some of these males have mastered the art of clandestine flirting, and they manage to get the female's attention right under another male's nose. So while the head honcho male is guarding the entrance to a rocky outcrop that has the female inside, these sneaky males tiptoe in the back door and tickle the female to see if she's interested. That is flirting octopus style.
I love this. It actually reminds me, you know, the Brits, they have so much more fun than we do. It's a miracle I got fuck in my book title, but they put it in science. There's the sneaky fucker theory of mating with the beta males.
Yes.
The beta males do exactly what you're talking about. The alpha males are all off, like, you know, batting their horns together, and they do exactly what these sort of sneaky octopi do, you know, like sneaking in the back door and tickling the female. So I mean,
yeah,
that's kind of amazing.
And well, it is. And, you know, and the second problem, though, that I had with this statement is that it implies that all flirting in people is some kind of secret James Bond-esque type of behavior. I mean, I don't know about you, but I just don't think that I think that flirting can be ambiguous, but it can also be, you know, pretty obvious. I mean, what do you think?
Well, it's more obvious if you know what it is. I mean, it is really hard. You know, if you can know all these flirting maneuvers, and I'll name a few, you know, and know what the sequence is, and not being able to spot it when you're around some hot person. But the way we know this, the sequence, I love this. There's this Austrian ethologist, and ethology is a study of animal behavior, including the human animal. And this guy, I'm not going to be able to say his name, he is Viennese, Irenaeus Eibisfeld. And back in the 60s, he is a sneaky fucker, he rigged a camera with a secret lens. So when it looked like he was taking pictures of, like, the scenery in front of him, it was actually taking pictures from the side. I mean, he was taking pictures.
Oh, wow.
Samoa, Japan, France, Africa, the Amazon. These people, anthropology is like a way to see the world, you know, without staying in Utah still. He took photos of people's facial expressions and their courting sequences. And this is important. He found a pattern across cultures and the way people flirt. And people criticize of psych research, which I use a lot in my work. You know, it's very popular, whipping boy. And sometimes criticism is correct when a study overreaches or something. But a good deal of the research is on what's called culturally invariant behavior, meaning it's common across cultures. It's really important to find because it suggests these evolved universals in human behavior and dispels the notions like the idea that we're, you know, we are the way we are because we're idiots who believe everything we read in a women's magazine.
Yeah. Okay. So what you're saying then is that Eibisfeld, this guy Eibisfeld, however we say his name, found that there's this sort of universal flirting sequence, which in humans, which of course I find the term culturally invariant to even then go beyond humans and across the animal kingdom. But so what is this sort of flirting sequence?
Oh, I love that. Species invariant. You know, you're right. People, we're way too limited in looking just at humans in that way. So this involves this. A woman will smile, and this is we'll get into male flirting later because it's different because of the way women and men have different levels of investment in children. So they behave differently in the way they flirt. So a woman will smile at the person she's interested in, and she'll sort of wiggle her eyebrows and look, gaze straight at him, and then she'll tilt her head to the side and look away. And she'll sometimes cover her face with her hands. And a lot of Asian women actually do this sort of often, I notice, and she might giggle into her palms. So this, again, this is sort of hard to pick up. You know, you have to be sort of an expert to see this and not be all that interested in the person, be emotionally involved. But I will give you, to be more helpful, the top three flirting gestures from women. These are the most effective, and this is per social psychologist Monica Moore, who does a lot of studying of flirting. She actually counted 52 flirting maneuvers, but the three most effective, I know, isn't it amazing? I look at
that's
the list.
That's amazing.
I mean, practically everything is like you scratch your eyebrow, you know, you're flirting. But now these are for a woman. So
I'm flirting with you right now then, Amy.
I'm flirting with you too. I'm also flirting with my dog. Luckily, she's not trying to have sex with my arm right now because it's too far away. So the three top flirting gestures in a woman are making eye contact. So she'd do that, make eye contact, look at the man. She probably would look away because it's sort of weird and uncomfortable just to stare like a stalker. Smiling and touching. So that's touching the man. But there another very powerful one is primping. And this is playing with things you don't need to play with. Playing with your button, right. Playing with your hair, smoothing your clothes, touching that little necklace that goes between your cleavage, which, you know, guys always think, like, oh, I'm not supposed to look there. And it's like, no, we're not, you know, leaving it down there to catch, you know, flies. We want you to look.
Right.
So, but tell us about, okay, styles of flirting in animals. So humans is like, okay, here's a human universal. Do these vary in animals?
They do. So you've got a lot of different styles of flirting, too, in animals, and every species sort of has their way of going about it, sometimes subtle, you know, and sometimes in your face. And so, like, subtle would be like flamingos, you know, when flamingos are kind of trying to get the attention of a potential love interest, they sort of salute their wings while they extend their leg out gracefully. You know,
what
crocodiles.
Does that mean, salute? Can you just explain that salute their wing? What do they do, like flap their wings?
Oh, so they curve their wing up almost like a salute, right? So it's like, here I am extending my wing up so you can see how fabulous it is. And look at me balance and extend my leg as well. And so, you know, I sort of think of that as when I'm sitting at a bar stool and I cross my ankles and I maybe point my toe or my foot sort of in the direction of somebody that I might be interested in. It's sort of a little flamingo-esque. And, you know, but other species like crocodiles are a little more in your face. I mean, female crocodiles will arch their back straight up out of the water, and that's their way of flirting with the you know, crocodile of interest. And giraffes probably take the cake for, you know, we wouldn't want to mimic giraffe flirting. It usually involves the male taking his nose and just shoving it in the butt of the female that he's interested in.
So, talk about,
I mean,
you
not
know,
that we don't have those kind
shine.
Of guys around, you know, but
yeah,
we definitely.
You know, that's supposed to be sort of like an insult, put it where the sun don't shine, not like, you know, a dating move.
Yeah, but, you know, like, actually, the giggling and the sort of touching and making eye contact is very much like the bearded capuchin style of flirting. So these ladies, they actually, they sort of go between adult and grade school style, so they throw rocks at males that they want to have attention. And if that doesn't work and pouting doesn't work, they'll actually run up to the male, grab his fur, and then run away.
Wow, that really is very grade school. That's so funny. You know, it really is so mimicking of humans. Did we just grow up a little bit more, some of us?
Some of us, maybe not, you know, not all of us. But, you know, with all the sort of similarities there with animals and us and body language, I think one species has really got it going on, and that's the Mediterranean chameleon. And the reason why I think they have sort of the best flirting style is that when a female really digs a male, she doesn't have to make eye contact. She doesn't have to go touch him. She just changes color. She turns yellow. And this is sort of like a built-in flirting mood ring. I mean, how cool would that be, is that if you looked at a guy and liked him, that you just changed color?
Oh, no, that would be so embarrassing if you weren't supposed to like him, like if you have a crush on your boss. That would
suck. Yeah,
so
that would be bad, actually.
Like, oh, my God, you have the hot string. That would be horrible. That would be really horrible. So when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about human nature, flirting in the women's movement. But first, you're listening to Science News You Can Use Radio with Amy Alcon and Dr. Jennifer Vertelin.
Support our show and entertain yourself while improving your life by buying our new books.
I'm Amy Alcon, and I'm the author of Good Manners for Nice People Who Sometimes Say Fuck.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Vertelin, and my book is Wild Connection, What Animal Courtship and Mating Tell Us About Human Relationships.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm not turning yellow right now. So, women have been under the impression that the women's movement changed something about human nature and how love and dating and mating work. And they can now just, you know, we're all equal and we do equal pay for equal work. So this means you can go club a guy over the head and drag him home, or they can, you know, have themselves catapulted into a guy's bedroom. But actually, the overt chase from a woman is a mistake. And there's a book, it's a little old, but it's available, used on Amazon. They should republish it. It's very good. Heather Trexler-Remoff, I think she's an anthropologist. She wrote an excellent book called Sexual Choice. And she talks about different kinds of pursuit from women. And the kind that we're talking about tonight, flirting, is the most effective for not blowing things. But she also talks about this forthright pursuit, which is when you want one shot with a guy. You want him to accompany you to a dance, or you want to have a one-night stand. You don't care about anything else. You can then just be like, hey, want to go out with me? You know, be like, do it like, you know, just straight out there. But otherwise, you know, it is a risky strategy. So there will be women that say like, oh, my God, I met my husband because I clubbed him and catapulted myself into his bedroom. And so, like, obviously this works. No. There's a saying in anthropology that the plural of anecdote is not data. And so that's just an interesting story. And so to not take the risky strategy, you need to use these flirting signals to show interest. You need to be patient, even if you are the least patient person in the whole world. You need to, like, do whatever it is, like bite a bullet, you know, give your phone to a friend, you know, and just wait for the guy to respond. You know, it's supposed to be a dance, not a monologue. You're not supposed to do everything. And the reason guys tend to devalue women who chase them is that women evolved to be the choosier sex because we have more costs from having sex. We could have a child and have to drag it around. The guy could just, like, run away. You know, well, they didn't have child support back in the cave days. But, and so men co-evolved to expect this. So if you don't act choosy, if you're chasing the guy and you're just completely easy to get, you know, should things be this way? Well, perhaps, but that's not how they are. The guy will tend to devalue you. Not always, but it's a risk that you take.
Well, okay, so I'm not sure that I agree with you on that it's not a good idea for women to ask men out. I mean, granted, there's someone, you know, there's asking someone out and then, of course, acting like a complete giraffe, you know, and clubbing them over the head and trying to drag them home.
Wait, does a giraffe shove the face in their butt? I don't think that'd be an effective strategy in humans. Like, if you do that,
well,
you
yeah,
might
no,
get arrested.
Well, this is true. But, you know, I mean in that sort of in-your-face kind of, you know, I want you sort of way. You know, I think that sometimes, though, asking a guy out directly isn't necessarily a bad move. It might be the exact right move. I think it depends on the guy. And I think actually both men and women are just as choosy because men are making a huge investment, too, of resources. So, I mean, it depends on the guy, but what is a woman to do if a man is just too shy to ask her out?
Oh, my God, I'm going to step on my giant soapbox now from years of being an advice columnist. Oh, my God, if a man doesn't have the guts to ask a woman out, he does not deserve to go out with her. And so, ladies, if he is such a social ingrown toenail that he can't even muster the courage to ask for your number, to, you know, just like, can I have your phone number? Like, you know, do you really think he'll suddenly morph into a man when you're in a relationship because you suddenly ask for his number? So, you know, being afraid to do something is not reason to not do it. You know, if you will do best if you find a man who acts like a man. You know, and in fact, I would say actually that being afraid to do something is reason to do it. You know, I like to use that, except for jumping off tall buildings, which just seems stupid. So, you know, a guy needs to, if he's not asking you out, this is your signal to move on, not to sit there and like endlessly flirt with him, flirt. And you sometimes do have to flirt more than you think. We'll talk a little bit about that. But
we should be acting like bearded capuchins and throwing rocks at them to try to get them to ask us out.
Well, you know, actually, because that's in direction. So I don't think that's bad. I think teasing is really a good thing. And, you know, it's something, you know, we'll talk about a little bit later. Like in a relationship, that keeps that's a way to flirt while you're in a relationship, which is very good. I think that's pretty important.
Well, you know, I've actually asked guys out. So I'm going to, you know, I know they haven't worked out. So you might be onto something there. But you know, do men always know that we're flirting? I mean, are there any men that are sort of flirt deaf?
Oh, that's a very good question. So Monica Moore, the sociologist I mentioned earlier who studies flirting, she found that it took three separate attempts of a woman making eye contact with a man and then looking away. That's a little secret. That's a little sequence. That's where it's like, I'm going to look at you. Ooh, I'm demure. I'm going to look at you. Ooh, I'm demure. And then the third time. So, and then three times. And the guy finally goes like, oh, wait. Wait, who, me? Maybe she's into me. Maybe she's not like signaling the guy behind me. And then it suddenly, you know, occurs to him, may occur to him, is likely to occur that she's interested. So because of this, because it's sometimes hard for men to tell whether a woman is interested, that my advice to men is that they should ask out any woman they're interested in. And so it's like, oh my God, the rejection. Well, you know what? Yes. She can say no, and if you accept that a giant claw will not reach out from the ground and pull you in, it'll just be like kind of painful for 13 seconds. Just see it as a sign when a woman rejects you, it's your sign to act, ask the next, not that you're useless as a human. So with that, right. let's talk about, I want to ask you, tell us about the clueless animals out there. Are there clueless animals or must be?
Okay, well, there are. And, you know, not to pick on males in this case, it's the males. So probably the best example is the long-tailed mannequin. So it's this little bird that's found in the American tropics, and it's not the one, you know, we're not talking mannequin like in the department store, right? We're talking bird. And I think there was a movie on that. And so anyway, they dance in pairs, right? So the males pair up, and they have to dance for the females. And young males are the apprentice to the master dancer, who helps them learn how to flirt, which is actually quite a complicated sequence. It involves a lot of dancing, including a little Michael Jackson-style moonwalking. And when you have this pair of older, more experienced bird and young apprentice male, only the older male will mate, and the young one, you know, he might inherit sort of the dance floor, so to speak, once the older male dies, but it can take up to 10 years before this young male gets things down pat to be able to flirt effectively with a female long-tailed mannequin.
Well, by that, dancing with the birdie stars, he should be on that at that point. And I do have to say, I love how you describe things, because when you said mannequin, of course, and then you said bird, my first thought, I just pictured little department store mannequins in trees and nests. So that's how informed I am about how it goes in the animals. That's why we're together, because she knows things and I don't. Okay, I just want to mention, because I promise this, I want to mention how men flirt. And it's different than women, because men aren't the demure ones. They go the opposite way. Men tend to flirt by going all big man on campus, big guy, you know. And so they use dominance moves, like they'll wink, they'll lean in closer, get in your space. A guy will strut as he walks, lean back in his chair, you know, again, come into your personal space. And, you know, a big indicator is coming up and initiating conversation with you. So, you know, what's funny about this, we were talking about gorillas, you know, a few of these shows, this seems sort of like, you know, man is gorilla behavior. So when you see a man as sort of his gorilla, you know, he probably likes you.
Well, okay, you know, well, that's probably true. But, you know, what's interesting is that the strutting as he walks and the moving in closer to you, that's very emperor penguin-like behavior, which is a far cry from the big, scary, chest-pounding gorilla behavior. And, you know, what's even more interesting is all that stuff, like sort of the leaning back in the chair, I wouldn't actually recognize those things as flirting. And if they were gorilla-like, I'm in trouble because my first love is gorillas. So I think I need to start paying better attention so that I don't miss if a gorilla flirts with me. You know. But as for men, I tend to go with the smile and the glance and the sort of more subtle ways of flirting and sort of ignore the peacock strutting, emperor penguin leaning in, you know, coming into my personal space style.
Yeah, you know, it kind of describes an asshole, and I think if a guy, I mean, you, if a guy comes up,
I have good taste, is what you're saying.
Right, right. Well, I'm worried about you, because penguins aren't exactly the macho creatures of the animal world, but, you know, so I'm a little worried, you know, dating a penguin. Okay, but I like the tuxedo look, so that's nice, you know, like go out and during the day. Anyway, that's off topic. Yeah, so if a guy, I think that women feel, you know, that if a guy's approaching them and talking to them, I mean, he doesn't really want to know where, like, you get a textbook for blah, 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 probably, that this is a guy showing interest. And so it's not that hard. I actually didn't know these dominance moves for men. I just looked stuff up, you know, for the show. I hadn't really realized that before. And it's sort of interesting to me. But I don't think that we need those as women to tell. We're sort
right.
of, we get a sense.
Right.
But I want to talk about why people flirt. So, you know, there are different kinds of flirting. You flirt for fun. You know, you flirt to get stuff. So, you know, yes, flirting is a ploy. It's get on the road to getting some, but it's a ploy to get stuff like free drinks, a better deal at the tire
right.
shop. You know, people will flirt also to, you know, for confirmation they've still got it. See if anybody plays anything back. They flirt with them. They don't turn to stone, you know.
Right.
Or they'll, you know, they'll just do it to make somebody feel good. I'm writing about this week, you know, when, you know, when the guy says to the supermarket cashier, you know, hey, beautiful, you know, it isn't looking because he's looking to get busy with her in the back seat of her walker.
Okay. Well, yeah. Now, before I tell everybody what I do or don't do, do you engage in any of this flirting stuff for free
Greg,
stuff?
Greg, well, you know, well, not for, I mean, I'm not like a scam artist, but I mean, you do, you catch more flies with a fly swatter, but, you know, Greg, our producer will laugh, because I flirt with everyone in every species, sometimes unintentionally. My friend had a lorikeet, which is a bird. It ended up having the hots for me and chasing me into her bathroom. I think it might have been red hair, like I didn't really do anything, it just liked the red hair. But, I mean, come on, it was so pathetic to be chased into a bathroom by a bird, like people chased by muggers. I'm chased by a bird. But really, I do use flirting to make people feel good. And, you know, I realize that, you know, here we women all complain like, oh, my God, the construction worker, he said this offensive thing to me. My dad once said, worry when they don't say anything. Anyway, I tried to do the turnabout thing. So I once called out to a guy in bike shorts, and I didn't even find him particularly hot. I just thought it would be nice. But I did the construction worker thing. You know, and I, you know, yelled out. I can't quite remember what I did, but it's just like I thought, like, hey, you know, guys never have anybody say the equivalent of like, hey, nice tits. So, and the guy, he loved it. He turned bright red. He waved. He dinged a little bell on his bicycle. That was like the only time that probably ever happened to him. Guys just aren't used to that thing. So.
I love that. You know, I'm a huge flirt, huge. I mean, I when it comes to sort of non-romantic or, you know, sexual interest type of flirting, probably the two places I flirt the most, I guess I'm one of those scam artists, is at the mechanic and at the meat counter, okay? Because I know. Well, but see, it's like there's this social contract, right, that we sort of have in these situations. And I flirt, and the recipient receives the flirting, understanding that it is an exchange for goods and services. I mean, you know, and in none of these situations has anyone ever misinterpreted my signal, mistaking it for any kind of genuine sexual interest. And I've got, and it's kind of awesome, really, because not only do I, like, at the meat counter, I get better cuts of meat, but sometimes I've gotten free meat, and I get free coffee. And this really brings up kind of a similarity between us and animals because, I mean, I'm very much, you know, chimpanzee-like. I mean, females will flirt with the males that have the meat, and they get meat later.
See, my boyfriend knows something because he brings me food.
See?
And men actually, yeah, no, it's really important. Men should do this. This is a thing, makes women feel very loved and cared for. You know, when men cook and everything, men bring you food, but they bring you even like a snack, a treat or something like that. That's just so nice. So we are almost out of time. And I mentioned a little bit keeping flirting and seduction alive in our relationships. And I just want to say, I think one thing to do that's important is to look seductive. You know, because you want your partner not to, you know, feel like that they're going to turn to stone, and to be playful and teasing. And so, you know, how does that work in the animal world? How do they keep the duck interested?
Well, you know, harlequin male ducks take sort of a different approach. They don't necessarily focus on looking seductive or looking hot, but what they do is they're very chivalrous. They let the females feed when they're in dangerous areas, and they keep a watch out for predators. So they sort of do the, ma'am, I've got you covered. You're protected. You can go eat to your heart's content, and I'm watching.
It's the police flirt. I love that. The cop flirt. We all like a man in uniform.
The cop flirt.
Okay. So
we're really
almost out of time. You are a self-confessed flirt. Have you ever had an embarrassing, epic flirt fail?
I have. You know, I used to have a Great Dane, and his name was BB, and they say that dogs are great for helping you meet someone, but my Dane was definitely not the best wingman. He was huge. He weighed about 180 pounds, And one day this man stopped to ask about him, and he was kind of cute. So I started flirting shamelessly, really, with this man who was very good looking. And Bibi, my Great Dane, took that moment to shake his head vigorously, and a giant gob of spit slobber flew in the air, and I was watching it horrified, like slow motion, and it landed right on the man's face.
And was that the end of that?
It was pretty much the end of that.
See, yeah. You know, okay, I have a problem with this, like, Mr. Good-Looking Guy, because you know what? The right man is right with dog slobber, and I say that with the right man as a producer who is, yeah, better be right with dog slobber because my dog just uses him as like some kind of licking post. And on that note, we are almost at the end of our show. This is Amy Elkon, and you've been listening to Science News You Can Use Radio with Amy Elkon and Dr. Jennifer Vertelin.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Vertelin. Join the two of us again in 2 weeks and join Amy Elkon next week for her regular show featuring the top behavioral scientists explaining how their work can improve your life.
And please support our work by buying our new books, Amy Elkon's Good Manners for Nice People Who Sometimes Say Fuck. These are linked on our show page. And Dr. Jennifer Vertelin's Wild Connection, What Animal Courtship and Mating Tell Us About Human Relationships. And now, my favorite part of the show, Dr. Jen, any final words from the animal kingdom?
Okay, well, so for all you men out there, you don't have to be an expert moonwalking mannequin to flirt with us. Just go a little baboon on us and throw us a glance here or there.
Oh, I just love that. I just love that. That's great. Well, thanks, everybody. Join us next week, or for our next show in 2 weeks. And join me next week.
I'm on a ride, flying and weightless.
I swerve and stop just trying to avoid the dragon!
Ride Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey, the breakthrough thrill ride at Universal Studios Hollywood. It's part coaster, part flight simulator, a little bit of wonder, and all beyond any ride you can imagine. Visit UniversalStudiosHollywood.com.